Welcome back to the show. Let's talk to Mr. Bill Blaine, strategist for Mint Partners and an avid sailor. Were you not selected in the Olympics, young Bill?
No, I didn't make the Olympics, sadly, and that was many, many years ago. Nor did I make Ben Ainslie's team at the America's Cup last week, which was the most spectacular thing. And I think we're going to do quite well in that when it comes around in Bermuda next year.
Well, he's a winner, isn't he?
The question is, will we still be around this time next year for the America's Cup? Will global markets be able to afford the expense of an America's Cup campaign?
Ooh, very cynical. Right, I've got some questions here that I thought I'd ask you.
Go on, throw
you're
them
the cleverest person who's coming on the show today, apart from David Buick.
Yeah, of course.
That. Right, Royal Bank.
I just want to say how unfair it is to put me on after David. You cannot beat the guy.
He's your warm-up act, isn't he?
No.
Right, RBA cuts rates to fresh record low of 1.5%. Our commodity producers, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, heading towards zero lower bounds.
We have an absolutely fascinating situation in global policy just now, where everything is beginning to diverge. And we've got really two things going on. Let's look at the US, where the PMIs, although they're mixed, the purchasing managers report that suggest how the economy is doing, they're starting to rise. And we're getting clear signals in the US that the US economy is heading towards, let's not use the word liftoff, but at least sort of takeoff speed. We've got comments from Moody's and S&P saying that a Clinton government could create growth. We've even got, I saw a ridiculous headline in the Tory graph this morning saying something about 4% global growth next year. So we've got some countries like the US definitely in a growth trend. Then we've got other countries like the commodities producers you suggest who are seeing downturns. And that's occurring as we see dollar stability. As we start to see dollar strength, as the next hike comes in, their problems will become exacerbated, that commodity producers, they'll start to get more income from commodities, but it's going to cost them more to produce because they have to pay dollars for them. But the really interesting one to look at just now is Japan. Now, we've seen some very interesting things going on. Everyone expected the Bank of Japan to unleash yet another kitchen sink approach to QE last week. They didn't.
Yep.
They disappointed. Less than the market was hoping for. What the market probably should have expected, though, increasing the amount of equity they're buying. The result has been extraordinary, though. And I'm not sure the whole markets have woken up to the significance of the fact that 10-year JGB yields have fallen from minus 30 basis points to minus 5 basis points. Now, in terms of negative interest rates, that is a massive move. At one point this morning, we had JGBs flat. Now, that, I think, changes the whole approach, not only for the Japanese markets, where it's been forcing Japanese investors to go elsewhere, such as the Treasury market and the Euro market and even the gilts market. The implications of rising rates in Japan are going to be felt in the other markets. And, of course, what David was talking about there in his rant about how distorted markets are, that is going to play off as we see bond yields start to correct. That this distortion that is forcing investors out of bonds and into other financial assets is no longer going to look so attractive. Therefore, the market is going to have a sudden wake-up call in the next couple of weeks. And I'm intrigued at all the other things that are going on at the same time. You've got Goldman Sachs saying they expect a 10% correction in the global equity markets. You've got other people talking about further declines to come in commodities. And oil, I mean, you were asking the question there earlier about where do oil prices go? Well, the fascinating thing is that US producers, who are the swing producer here, they are coping with $40 oil. Because you know what? They've cut their production costs, and they've cut them dramatically. So all these companies, and some of them did go bust, but all the ones we expected to go bust at $40 oil, they haven't. They've survived, and they're producing. So there's no reason to expect oil prices to go higher.
So okay. you're just saying that the bond yields going up is going to, the market hasn't woken up to that, and the stock market will then just go pop, or could go pop.
I think once we see a lot of the distortion effects of ultra-low negative interest rates reversed, and we get to zero interest rates, and even, heaven forbid, real interest rates in government bond markets, people are going to wake up and say, ah, it's the end of the bond rally. Now, we know for a fact that there was an awful lot of hedge funds and real money accounts have been coattailing the Bank of Japan and buying the JGB market. Now, they have just got pummeled in the last few days since Friday, the sell-off in JGBs.
But the two pieces I've got here, what's behind the rout in the Japanese bonds? So what's behind this?
Well, it's very interesting. What has driven this? We've seen the currency accelerate much stronger, which a lot of people think is very bad for the Japanese stock market. In fact, it makes it easy for Japanese corporates to finance. And because there is so much money now going from the government into the Japanese equity market, we should see that stabilize at some point. But I think the real issue is there's a credibility gap emerging between the very academic approach that Kuroda is taking within the Bank of Japan and the expectations of the market, which is now looking and saying, hang on, where is this going? This doesn't work. Time to get out. And so you're seeing a lack of credibility reflected in wider bond yields for Japan.
Okay, so has the Bank of Japan stimulus reached its limit?
Well, this morning, we're just getting this announcement of the big fiscal package that's coming in. And Japan, I mean, the thing that people have really pointed to with the three arrows approach that was taken in Japan was the failure of the third arrow. That is reform, changing the way that things happen in Japan, getting more women into the workforce because their workforce is declining due to demographics, freeing up red tape. None of that stuff has really happened to the extent it had to. So you're seeing this morning a new approach, which is to throw money at the problem, fiscal spending, a $28 billion emergency package from government, and I'm damn sure it won't be the last one, but of that, about $13 trillion is fiscal spending. $6 trillion of that is to solve the demographic crisis. Well, how do they solve that except by getting younger workers into the country to do the jobs that need to be done? And that's something that's very unlikely to happen in Japan.
Let's wrap up one line of headline here. Chinese shipbuilder warns it may not be able to repay its bonds due this week. Headlines like that are never good, are they?
Well, A, it's not good for the Chinese market. B, it's not good for global shipping. We reckon there probably isn't a single bulk carrier in the world that's not in default on its covenants just now. But at some stage, these things will come up. But it's yet another warning to keep a weather eye on what's going on in China.
Bill Blaine, strategist for Mint Partners, we don't see you enough. We want to see more of you.
It's the difficulty of getting all the way here from Canary Wharf.
We're having Globalink set up as we speak, so
excellent.
We'll talk to you at least once a week via the old camera. Right, Bill, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Let's take a very quick break, then we're going to hand over to Malcolm Graham Wood, an oil analyst and a blogger. And he's going to interview Paul Welsh, CEO of SDX Energy. And then we'll be back after that with Mr. Chris Justin, a relationship manager for Seven Investment Management. We'll see what's on his thoughts today. Straight back after the break. Thank you.